It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Is gracing your screen. There he is, suited and booted.
What's up with that, Pat?
P-Mac
with the blazer. What's going on, my brother? What's going on?
My guy, David Allen, blessed me with a new one. I even got photos on the inside. It was a gift for the holiday season. Figure I look super professional when I join you guys. You are all the freshest on TV. So when I join you, I try not to look like an ass. So I appreciate you guys raising my game. More specifically, Stephen A. I appreciate it.
You know what? I'm just getting emotional right now because, you know, I mean, for me, I clearly have had some influence on Shannon. And then to see my man P-Mac with the blazer on, I mean, it touches my heart. You understand what I'm saying? I see the elevation, fellas. I see what I'm talking about. This is what we do.
Got to wear suits to talk about sports, baby, especially if you want to be professional. And look at this thing. It's in the pocket. Like, that thing's attached to the pocket. Super professional.
It is kind of we wear suits to talk about sports.
Well, you know what?
When he says it that way.
But here's the deal. We wear suits to talk about sports. Because the money we looking for ain't coming from just sports. See how that goes?
Yeah.
How about that?
Was deep. That was really deep.
I thought so, Pat.
That was really deep.
That was
powerful. Hey, man.
I might find that on a fortune cookie.
Tell me the money.
All right. I want to learn from Pat. We had the battle of the birds in the NFC, and the Hawks were flying higher last night than their starting quarterback. The Eagles, 10-4, dropped their third straight game after two fourth-quarter interceptions by Jalen Hurts and a game-winning touchdown pass from Drew Lock with 28 seconds left in the game. Jerry Jones, Stephen A's dear friend, talked about it this morning.
It's marvelous. I watched every bit of it. I thought I was about to doze. And then when they made those two exciting plays at the end, I couldn't sleep till 4 this morning because of the impact that it can have on our year and our season.
Mm. P-Mac, he couldn't doze, wide awake after seeing what went down. So with that being said, who's the biggest threat to the Niners right now in the NFC? We got the Cowboys and the Eagles both coming off losses.
Yeah, everybody kind of just wants to wipe the Cowboys and Eagles out because it is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league. And when the Cowboys look the way they look on primetime as they're going to look, people say, well, they finally come to – and I assume Stephen A. was thinking this whenever he's laughing in that massive house with the pool table. He was thinking to himself, this is the deck that we have come to expect and the one that I was waiting on. But I don't feel that's the case. I think the Cowboys are going to be able to bounce back. I think they just got buzzsawed on a particular evening to a great team. And then whenever you talk about the Eagles, it's like, wait a second now. These three games have certainly been ugly, and then to lose to Drew Lock last night, back up to the backup pretty much, and with what he was able to do at the end of that game for a 92-yard drive, DK, bucket to Jackson Smith and Jigba, and they targeted Bradbury last night at a rapid rate. They have three different coordinators now to replace the two coordinators that they lost at the end of last year. I think they are feeling the effects of Steichen and Gannon out of the building. Now, whenever you talk about this Niners team, I don't know if there's many teams that can face off against them where they're at right here right now. We had Fred Warner on our show yesterday and get a chance to chat with him with how tight they are and what they feel about each other and how much they can still grow. It was amazing. And then Rashard Mendenhall's arch nemesis, Christian McCaffrey, was on Monday Night Manning last night. And whenever he was talking, you just hear how close that team is. So not only are they violent, physical, talented, their chemistry is also through the roof. And I think you have to think about another team that might be able to do what the Niners are able to do. And I think you have to go to the beautiful city a Detroit, Michigan. Don't look now, but the brand new Lions are a physical team. They're a team with moxie. They're a team that's been through some adversity. They're a team that's been laughed at, obviously, for the last 50 years. MCDC has that culture building and going through. And if you look on the defensive side of the ball, with CJGJ coming back into the fold, who we know is a tone and culture setter for any team that he's on, since week 9, they're number 1 in the red zone touchdown percentage. So, on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of people kicking field goals against them. I think the Detroit Lions are a sneaky lion in the NFC race in this entire thing, and I think it's going to take a while for people to get used to saying that.
Right. Well, it's a couple of things. Number one, y'all saw me rolling my eyes. That wasn't about you, P-Mac. That was about Molly's phone going off yet again in the middle of the show. Shannon, just yet again in the middle of the show, she getting phone calls. But that's different. That's different.
I thought it was mine.
That's what's going on with Molly over here. You heard the vibrator.
So interesting that I got a text message from one of our producers.
All right, whatever. She gets text messages every 5 minutes.
Ain't from no damn producers, okay?
Ain't from no damn producers, all right? Let me just say that, all right? That's number one.
Congrats on getting texts, by the way. That's
how about
good.
That? Yeah, congratulations on the text. Congratulations on the text. That's number one. Yeah. Number two, P-Mac. I get your point about the Lions, man. No doubt about that. I think they're legit. I love them. Their ability to run the football. They are a physical team. I think that matters. You lose two of the last 3 weeks to Green Bay and Chicago, though. I mean, that's shaky. But I get where you're coming from. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys as being the biggest threat despite what we saw just happen to them against the Buffalo Bills, because in the NFC, it's by default. If you're Detroit, I got questions about you. I get that, okay? And again, the list is fluid, Shannon. The list is fluid. Keep in mind.
You have a list today?
Yes, I do have a list today.
Oh, boy.
But the point is this. It's not just that. It's also the high-powered offense. The Dallas Cowboys have the capability to get into a shootout with anybody. And I think that's what I'm holding on to. When the offense is clicking and you're a team that wants to throw the football against them, giving the pass rushers an opportunity to get at you, I'm not saying they would win. Of course I'm not saying that. But when I look at Detroit and how up and down they've been on occasion, even though their record is 10-4. When I look at Philadelphia, they've been up and down. They're also 10-4. I'm just looking at them right now. And at this moment, I would say the Cowboys are a bigger threat against the 49ers in the NFC.
Here's the thing. If you ask me what team in the NFC is the closest to the 49ers, I say the closeness is the difference between L.A. and San Francisco. They're in the same states, but they're not close. And there's not an NFC team right now that's close to the 49ers. The Cowboys do not want to see the 49ers.
I agree with that.
Everybody, P-Mac, you know how this goes? Everybody's praying that somebody beat the bully so they don't have to face them, because they know their chances of beating said individual is slim to none, because the 49ers can run the football with McCaffrey, and now they play fake, and they got guys that are exceptional. Run after the catch. Ayuk, Debo, Kittle. And then you sprinkle in McCaffrey in the passing game. And Brock Purdy is the MVP right now. And that defense can turn you over. They can shut you down with those edge rushers, and Fred Warner in the middle, who's the best middle linebacker in football. I don't see a team, unless some unforeseen injury were to happen to one of their key players, and we hope that doesn't happen because we want to see everybody at full strength. I don't see a team, even the Cowboys, because what we've seen for the Cowboys, if they can't front run, they can't beat you. And what we've seen from, like you said, Stephen A., man, it's hard for me to pick a team that lost to Green Bay and lost to Chicago and say, you know what, they can go on the road and beat the 49ers in the Bay. I just don't see it right now.
I understand completely with that, and I think I believe in the Niners more than any other team in the NFL as well. But
so
if we're talking who could potentially go and get them, it's like, look on the offensive side for the Detroit Lions. I just said that stat about since week 9, number 1 in the NFL in touchdowns in the red zone or whatever. It's like Sam LaPorta, 700 yards, 7 touchdowns, only the third tight end, rookie tight end, in NFL history to do that. The other, Mackie and Ditka. Ben Johnson is the first guy that every owner wants to be the new head coach of their team because of their offensive ability. Jared Goff is like Jared Goff back when he was great with the Rams. He's at a whole new level. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is doing his thing. The offensive line is loaded. It's like the Lions can keep up with any team. But that is not saying that I think they're better than the Niners. Like, I love that 49ers team. I think we all do, especially with how last year ended for them. This year has been like a score to settle almost from the locker room all the way through this entire season.
Okay, so let's ignore the NFC for a second then, guys. What's the best team? I mean, when you think about the 49ers being the best team in the National Football League in a lot of our eyes right now, scouring the entire NFL, who has the best shot against them?
We'll find out on Christmas night, the Ravens.
Baltimore?
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's where I'm at. I think it's the Ravens.
It's like the Dolphins, you know, you think to yourself, they can really turn any game into a track meet. You know, you talk about that. But can they do that against the Niners? And will Tyreek and the entire squad be healthy? And does it matter if Tyreek's healthy with what they just proved to do with Waddle instead of Tyreek Hill? Yeah, but the Ravens' most complete team, I think, in the AFC, which and also physical and tough,
I don't trust
which you
Tua.
Have to be against this Niners team.
I don't trust Tua once pressure is applied to him. That's my issue. Right. Really? You can put some pressure on Tua. I don't trust him.
Buffalo is interesting. If they're going to rely on James Cook to run the football, because when I look at Josh Allen, I look at a guy that's more mobile, more athletic than Big Ben. And he's tough to get down. And when you add him to the running game, in which they do a lot, they'll run him on a quarterback power. And if it's third and close, it's hard to get him down and keep him from getting the first down. And so they can stay on the field and keep the 49ers offense off the field. And I think that's what you're going to have to do to beat the 49ers, is keep that offense off the field. Now, you say, man, keep the offense off the field. That means you're going up against their defense. Yeah, but that offense, when they get going, it's touchdown, 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 and that's hard for an opposing offense to keep up with. Because the Cowboys, if the Cowboys were to face them guys, we know they're going to have to go on the road. And they're basically three touchdowns less on the road than at home.
Okay.
How about how crazy the NFL is? If Kadarius Toney is back like 3 inches, okay, back like 3 inches. We assume that the Kansas City Chiefs win that game. Now, Josh Allen could have answered and came back and won it and all that, but let's just say the Chiefs win that game. Then the locker room afterwards in the Buffalo Bills, it isn't a celebration of Sean McDermott, we got your back, after that Tyler Dunn hit piece was basically written about his entire culture and everything. Right. Instead, it's like, yeah, maybe he has lost the locker room, just lost to the Chiefs again. Instead, they get the win there, and it's like, coach, we got your back. And then you listen to Josh Allen whenever he's coming off the field, coming down the tunnel, and they have a social media team has the camera there, and they say, like, oh, what are your thoughts? And he says, let James cook. And then you see what the offense has been since Joe Brady became the offensive coordinator as opposed to Ken Dorsey. It's like they have a fresh energy that makes us think of like what the Buffalo Bills were last year as opposed to what they were this year all year long. It's like they're a brand new team, it feels like, here towards the end, Shannon.
Hand it to him, throw it to him. James Cook has been the answer thus far, so far.
But, Pat, with the spicy answer, the Detroit Lions, I just want to share a note before we go to break that I think Shannon Sharp will enjoy. The Lions haven't had a home playoff game since the 1993 wild card game they lost to the Packers. Shannon's brother, Sterling Sharp, had 101 receiving yards and 3 TDs in that win for Green Bay.
The Grinch.
The Grinch good genes right there, when, the Sharp family.
When Sterling Sharp was in his prime, the only receiver you ever mentioned above him was Jerry Rice. Sterling Sharp was that dude. Spectacular. What's up, big bro? Stir. What's up, man? I know you watch.
He absolutely is watching.
Hi, Sterling. My name's Pat McAfee. Nice to meet you, Sterling. You're the man.
I've known Sterling way longer than Shannon.
I'm Shannon Sharp, Sterling. How are you?
Yeah, he knows you. And your dedication to him and your Hall of Fame speech, Unc, your comments about him in your Hall of Fame speech were phenomenal, man. It was really cool.
I had tears in my eyes. We had them at Savannah State. Yeah. I had like tears in my eyes, the two of them, that relationship, and their sister, too.
I was actually very proud of Shannon that day because, I mean, the way he gave that beautiful, beautiful, magnificent Hall of Fame speech, I never thought he'd disagree with his brother. And then, lo and behold, we showed up and he was on TV. I disagree. I mean, hey, well, yeah, I'm surprised. I'm like, wow.
It's pretty remarkable, and I'm showing Shannon way too much love right now, but it is pretty.
He deserves it.
Remarkable how phenomenal they both are as football players and how phenomenal they both are on TV.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sterling's a hell of a football analyst.
It's the truth.
We got our start in church.
That's right.
Praying and speaking in the church. So you know how a lot of these singers, Beyonce and Whitney and a lot of these singers got started in the church?
Yeah.
We got our public speaking and speaking in front of people in the church.
Shannon is pretty close to perfect. Until he starts talking about the Lakers. And then all of a sudden,
Your goat head you wore on television.
He's
coming back.
Something wrong with him. Stop it. Don't bring that mask back on.
He's coming back.
Don't you do it.
Okay. I looked at the TV.
I wasn't paying attention. I look at the TV, and I see your big ass. Because you actually, you know, you'd be like a yoked up goat, you know, without you. It was great television. I appreciated it. I'm a Braun fan as well, so let's go.
I did it. He ain't the goat.
All right.
Goat. Need to go.
Okay.
Goat
Pat
man,
McAfee,
goat man.
Wishing you and your family a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Pat.
Baby's first Christmas. Enjoy it all. Happy New Year, and looking forward to more great television in the new year with you.
Don't sweat a swing and a miss thanks to insurance tokens from BetMGM. Add an MLB wager to your bet slip and activate your bet insurance token. If your bet with the token applied doesn't hit, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to a specified maximum amount. That's another chance to step up to the plate and bet on the action out there on the diamond. Go to your BetMGM account today to claim your bet insurance token and get your stake back in bonus bets if your MLB wager using the token doesn't win. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. And official sports betting partner of MLB. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. or New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Memphis Grizzlies star guard Ja Morant returns to the lineup tonight after serving a 25-game suspension for displaying a weapon on social media on two separate occasions. In the 25-game stretch without Morant, the Grizzlies have fallen to 6-19 on the season, tied for second worst in the West. All right, Stephen A., I'll start with you. What does Ja's return mean?
It means that NBA players and professional athletes overall had better start paying attention to what's transpiring, because the world, Shannon, is reminding them about what's going on. Ja Morant, we can look at the Memphis Grizzlies 6-19 at this point, dead last in points per game and field goal percentage shooting. He'll make up for that. He's a superstar in this game. He's going to step on the court. He's going to wreak havoc. I have no doubt about that. He's a 25-point-per-game scorer plus, and I have no doubt that he's going to continue to do that, and he's going to add a spark, and he's going to come on the court, Shannon, hell-bent on wreaking absolute havoc, and he's more than capable of doing it. We miss him. We need to see him on the basketball court. Nobody here is rooting for him. But, Shannon, I wanted to use this opportunity to touch on a bigger issue. We see what Draymond Green has now gone through and how he's going to be in counseling and stuff like that, and we wish him nothing but the best. But Draymond Green was once being talked about as potentially the heir apparent to Charles Barkley. Now you got people speculating on whether or not any opportunities will be available to him beyond basketball because of his on-court transgressions. Well, Ja Morant had off-court transgressions. Now, I want to come to Ja Morant's defense by saying this. He broke no laws.
None.
He broke no laws whatsoever. Now, the NBA is a different animal. That's who you work for, and they've got their own laws in their bylaws,
right,
that you have to capitulate to, and that's what he has to do if he's an NBA player. But what he has to understand and what he needs to be reminded about, and I'm sure he knows better than anybody, let me throw this by you, Shannon Sharp. He's had deals with Hulu, Beats by Dre, Panini America, Powerade, obviously a Nike deal that was paying him about $12 million, which included a sneaker line, the Ja ones. All of that was placed in jeopardy. Remember, you had a couple of those brands disassociate themselves with him immediately from the first suspension because he was flashing a gun in the strip club. And then when the second suspension came down, we saw what transpired thereafter. It's important at this particular moment in time to mention to all the professional athletes out there, please remember what you did this for. Yeah, you love the game. Yes, you're incredible at it. You do what not even a minute percentage of the population can ever do. You worked your tail off to build better lives for yourself. You gonna throw it all away? Don't do it. Let's keep in mind what got you in this position to begin with. And to make sure whether it's the company you keep, it's the people you associate with, it's having the real folks in and keep them in check, because they represent you. You don't just represent yourself. They represent you as well. Shannon, you got people representing you, right? They walk out there, they act up. That's your name. You ain't going to tolerate that. You know I got people working for me. They represent my name the wrong way. They're going to be gone. I don't play that mess. That's the real world. That's what professional sports leagues are saying to you. Because in this climate that we're living in, with people losing their jobs, with people struggling and what have you, nobody's going to have sympathy for multimillionaire athletes who don't know how to act, who make these kind of mistakes. And when we say don't know how to act, we're not talking about what you literally did right or wrong. What we're saying is whoever you work for, they have a perception of how they want their brands represented. And if you don't represent them accordingly, you're going to pay the piper. So with Ja Morant coming back, with Draymond Green going through what he's going through, with a plethora of others finding themselves in precarious situations, I just wanted to take a moment to remind people, you're here for that bag. You want to play, you want to be exceptional, but you also want that bag, okay?
Yeah.
Don't let anybody get in the way of it. That's all I want to say, Shannon.
Yes, Stephen, you said something at the end, and I know what you meant to say, but I want to go ahead and correct it now. You said nobody is rooting against Ja. And no one is rooting against Ja because we want the best for Ja. We understand because a lot of us came from very similar backgrounds, worked our way to the top, and we want to make sure we do everything we possibly can to remain atop. When I look at Ja, what he's going to bring back, you talk about a guy that averaged 26 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists last year. So he instantaneously gives you offense. He's a spark. When you play in that crowd in front of the Grindhouse, when they play in that building and he's doing his acrobatics, I've never seen a man elevate like he can elevate, hang in the air, contort his body. After watching him play several times, he's box office. The term you use, Stephen A., he is box office. He is the real deal. He has some issues. You got to understand, though, Ja, the NBA is a private business. And they determined that flashy guns on social media is unacceptable. Now, fans at home, you can talk about the Second Amendment all you want to. You can talk about he ain't broke no law all you want to. He broke the law what the NBA determined that he broke. But I believe, hopefully, from this situation, I didn't feel the first time he learned his lesson because he went to a little drive-through a clinic, and that wasn't good. But I believe now, having to sit down for 25 games, have something taken away from you that you love, that you worked your entire life to get into, I do believe it. But Stephen A., I'm a firm believer. The number one apology is change behavior. You can give me all you want to say I'm sorry. You can do all this and write all the scripts and the pre-scripts and say all this and all the counseling that you need to go to. But until you change your behavior, that apology means nothing. And I believe, hopefully, Ja has learned his lesson. He comes back and be the Ja that we remember since he's entered into the league and he has a lustrous career. And we look back and say, this was a blip on the screen.
And that's what people weren't getting when I went on and talked about his press conference on Friday on my podcast. I was trying to make the point. The press conference looked eerily similar to what we always see from him when he's talking. And I'm saying it's important that he looks a little bit different. It's important. Like, you know, you got vulnerabilities. You've had issues. Everything in everybody's business. But you got to say something. And you got to come across a bit different than what you did before.
Contrite.
Because folks are looking at you. Contrite. That's one word to use. Definitely so. And also, you got to illuminate things just a little bit more. To sit up there and come with these vague responses and these terse and short responses, people ain't buying it because you're saying, ultimately, the proof is in the pudding and how I act. Well, again, it comes across, you got to make sure, rather, it doesn't come across as you, meaning Ja, having the mindset, I really didn't do anything wrong. I just got to deal with this nonsense. See, if you got that kind of attitude, then ultimately trouble lies
in wait. You'll find yourself back in this very position again.
There you go. There you go. And that's what I wanted to say. I wanted him to avoid. That's all.
I think some people have tried to explain to Ja, a wise man will learn from others' mistakes. A fool will learn from his own. Ja, you've been a fool twice. Don't go down that road again. All that, but do you understand? Did you see Jaylen Brown just got $300 million? Bro, think about what you could possibly get when your contract is up in 2 years. You can get $400. You willing to risk that to hang out with somebody and to flash a gun and have that thing to iron on you? Come on, bro, it ain't even worth that.
Well,
once you get all that back, get you a nice 15, 17-year, 20-year career, make about $500, $600 million, and if you want to play with them toys, have at it. But I ain't messing up that bag before I get this money.
How about that? And he's got a 5-year deal that kicks in that could make him as much as $231 million. But again, you got all of these endorsement deals and what have you. And you know what? You didn't do all of this just to depend on basketball to get your income because you can't get income from anywhere else. You got a plethora of opportunities to get income. Go get that bag.
Yeah.
It's Stephen A. But here's the thing, though, Stephen A.
Games were productive. Reset and come back better, stronger, new mindset, new focus.
How old is Josh Stephen A.? 22, 23? Early. So let's just say, by the time he's 27, he can get a contract for $400 million, $500 million.
Easy.
Absolutely. A lot on the line. All right. We'll leave it there.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Has it not been a wild week in the NFL? The Dallas Cowboys dismantled by the Buffalo Bills this past Sunday. And Micah Parsons, obviously a leader in the locker room, not pleased, not only with his team's performance, but with the criticism the media has given as well. Take a listen, Micah.
What I understand is, like, everyone just waits for the Cowboys to lose. I saw multiple analysts, people who are fake analysts who somehow got jobs on TV saying, there goes your boy. Like, it's almost to the point where it's like almost sick that they're waiting for former players are waiting for other current players to fail so that way they have something to talk about. It's like, oh, there he is. That's the person we've been waiting for. And it's like, why do you want a person to lose so bad? It seems that a lot of people are just waiting for people to fail.
All right, let's have a real roundtable discussion right now about this. I'm going to start with you.
Yeah.
Is Micah's take fair or foul?
It's very foul. And I love Micah Parsons. I love him to death. First of all, he wasn't talking about me because he said former players. But we all know I love to troll the Cowboys because I can't stand their damn fans. It has nothing to do against the players. I love Micah Parsons. I want him to get his bag. I love the endorsement deals that he gets. I call him the modern-day Lawrence Taylor. I got mad love for him, and he shows me mad love when he sees me. I got mad love for him and what have you. But I have never seen a player rooting against the Cowboys. I'm talking about as an analyst. Mm-mm. I've never seen that. And I've never seen, and I'm going to speak up, not that he needs me to. I'm going to speak up for the Jeff Saturdays, the Shannon Sharps, the Ryan Clarks, Marcus Spears, and so many others. I'm going to speak up for all of y'all. When y'all give y'all analysis, you can't be more fair. You're breaking down what you see. You're talking about what you know, and you're highlighting what's transpiring. The part that bothers me about Micah, you got to make up your mind, bro. If you want to sit up there and literally whine about how you cannot understand how people are rooting against you, why are you profiting off of it? Figure out, who do you work for? You work for Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones milks it all. Jerry Jones. Everybody knows how much I troll the Cowboys. Well, who was on this helicopter?
That's right.
Who does the man talk to? You know why? Because Jerry Jones said, I don't care what you say. As long as you talk about my Cowboys.
That's
you understand?
Right.
It's marketing, man. The Dallas Cowboys, there's no indifference. There's no apathy. You either love them or you hate them. I'm talking about as a fan or a nemesis, okay? But as an analyst, y'all point out what you see. And so for me, if you're a member of the Dallas Cowboys, it is different wearing that star on your helmet, playing in that billion-dollar playpen, having the nationally televised games, having Thanksgiving confiscated because even though Detroit has it too, we don't care that much about Detroit until recently, okay? It was really about the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. We get all of that. Do you have any as great as Micah Parsons is, guys, if he were playing in Jacksonville, If he were playing in Atlanta, if he were playing in Seattle, if he were playing somewhere other than the Dallas Cowboys, he'd be just another damn good, if not great, football player. He wouldn't be Micah.
Right.
He's Micah because he's a Dallas Cowboy. And to me, Jerry Jones, more so than anybody else, but of course, Stephen Jones and the Jones family and all of that stuff, they represent, they epitomize that. The reason why I might joke about them and troll their fans, but I got so much love for them, is that they accept what comes with being a Dallas Cowboy. And to me, Micah Parsons, that's what you need to do. You need to accept what comes with being a Dallas Cowboys. Not just the good, but the part that you don't like. Because guess what, bro? It's all profitable for you. Yeah. Let's not act like you don't know that.
And he's a part of the media. Because where did he give that interview? On his own podcast. So he's a part of the media. You see, Micah Parsons is living for the praise, and he's dying by the criticism. Now, when all these former former players and so-called analysts said Micah Parsons should be Rookie of the Year, say he also should maybe be Defensive Player of the Year, where was that criticism? When Micah Parsons jumped up in the middle, before the season started, talking about a historic defense, and all of a sudden they're not historic, what's he got to say now? You see, the problem that I have, Stephen A., before social media and before we had 24-hour news cycle, when yourself or other people would criticize the players, they said, how do you know? You never played. So how do you know what I should or shouldn't do? Now you get NFL players that played the game and played the game at a high level. See, me, they can't question SHIT or what I've done, my resume speaks for itself. Absolutely. So I don't know who he's talking about, but since I'm in the media, I'm assuming he's talking about me. You never had a problem when I gave you praise. You never had a problem when I say you should be an all-pro and you should be this or that. But the moment that you don't play well and people point that out, now they're rooting for you. They're rooting against you. Really? Really, that's what you think. People are rooting against you. They're pointing out, Micah, that in order for you guys to win, you have to show up in big games. You got to show up in the San Franciscos. You got to show up in the Buffaloes. You got to show up against Arizona. You had a sack. I think he had a sack against the Eagles when they won. But more times than not in big games, you haven't shown what we've seen from you in other games. Bro, ain't nobody rooting against you. Our job is to critique and analyze play. From players, the Cowboys, hey, Jerry, this is what Jerry wanted. This is what you wanted, because guess what? Us talking about the Cowboys, you get to reap the benefits. You get to get a lot of these North National deals that other players don't get because you're on the Cowboys and they're not. I could not believe hearing him cry and whine and grovel. The greats, Reggie and LT and all these great players never said that when they got criticized and when they didn't play well in the game. They said, okay, let's see next Sunday. Let's see Monday. And you up there, that's embarrassing. Saturday, I don't know how you feel, but it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't think he's been paying that much attention to the media for a long time. I'm old enough to remember when Peyton Manning wasn't good enough to take a team to a Super Bowl, right? Couldn't play big in big games, right? I remember when all these different players who have been taking shots at, or teams weren't doing exactly what they should be doing, or not winning enough, or not playing in big games, everybody gets criticized. And to your point, especially for the last game, when you talk about the Bills game, everything that I saw on social media, on TV, was about actual ball. It was about not aligning or being in an incorrect spot, or what the Bills did to take advantage of the Dallas Cowboys. There ain't nothing of it personal. Like, you listen, it benefits us when the Cowboys play well, right? Like, it benefits us when teams play good football. It benefits no one when everybody wants to turn the game off in the second quarter. Like, let's be real. Like, you want good teams playing good teams so that everybody loves our game. It does mean no good for players to be bad at football. So I would completely disagree. Listen, I love the way that the Cowboys have played this season. They started, they got beat by San Francisco, then they came back and run off a bunch of games, right? Play the Eagles close, then beat the Eagles later on. show up in Buffalo, lay an egg. Do I think they can respond and play well on the stretch? I do think that, and I hope they respond to that. Again, we are criticizing play on the field. There is nothing personal. If guys are attacking personally, I completely disagree with it. But I have seen zero of that. Unless I'm missing it, I haven't seen anybody lay it at the feet of, you know, Micah Parsons, that he ain't good enough player. They didn't play well. They got boat raced in a game, and you're going to get talked bad about when that happens.
Well, first of all, it's a couple of things. First of all, he's factually incorrect. Everybody's rooting against the Cowboys. They got the biggest fan base in sports,
facts.
People would argue. Okay, so first of all, that makes no sense. So factually, he's incorrect. That's number one. And number two, and most importantly, the beauty of today is what Shannon brought up. Because, see, as a journalist, you have a lot of people out there that kind of wishes the athlete, the former athlete, the coach, wasn't in this position. You ain't looking at that person here. No. I love the fact that athletes have their podcast and that.
Amen.
They are contributors. I learn from y'all. You know, what do I say? I'm brilliant because I know I'm not. I listen to those who are, and I learn from it. I know, as a reporter, what are you supposed to be doing?
Right.
What you're supposed to be doing is to go to the subject at hand, and they will let you know. And as a result, you're able to gauge and decipher, evaluate, and judge accordingly. The difference between the old days, Shannon, is that we had to go to y'all. Now y'all come to us because y'all right here on TV with us.
Right.
And so the point is, whether it's the player, the former player, the present player, not to mention the journalist, we all here and we got all bases covered. And oh, by the way, we don't hesitate to invite current players. You want to defend yourself? Feel free. But they go and they use their podcast because what you want to do is bloviate and complain as opposed to standing up to the level of scrutiny that you may bring upon yourself and you may deserve.
Stephen A., we had this conversation. You remember when Jerry Jones was talking? I've never been more proud of a team after they dominated the Commanders. More proud of a team after they beat the Eagles. So now all of a sudden, you pounding your chest like you King Kong. Now you get the brakes off you. Man, they rooting against us. I ain't never seen nothing like it. Stop crying. Pull your pants up, put the big shoulder pads on, and do something about it when them teams run through you like Sherman went through Atlanta.
Shay Shay with the tough love. I love it. He's currently the odds-on favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year, Micah Parsons, here at ESPN. Mm. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Electric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. The riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight, foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Let's go! Let's get some air!
There we go!
Whoa!
Time it is. Put Shannon Sharp up in that damn screen. He doesn't get to hide with this A-list that I got leading into Christmas. You understand? This is the last A-list before Christmas following week 15. Keep in mind, the list is fluid. The list is fluid, okay? Keep that in mind right now. You listening?
Sergeant Friday. Here we go. Number five on the list. Give it to me right now. Bam! The Buffalo Bills. Why?
We saw what they just did to the Dallas Cowboys. We see how Josh Allen has been rolling. You got Cook running the football. They still got Diggs and Davis. And Joe Brady's calling the offense. Look like a different team. By the way, where the hell is Mike T as a Mike Tannenbaum Shannon who told us that the Dallas Cowboys wouldn't even punt for the game and they were going to romp the Bills? Where Mike T at? I can't find him. But guess what? We found the Bills on this list. They're top five on the list, please. Let's go to number four on the list. Give it to me right now, please. Yeah. Bam! The Miami Dolphins. Why? I know the Buffalo Bills romped them early in the season, but that was weeks ago. The Dolphins are the leaders in the AFC East. The Dolphins are two games ahead of the Buffalo Bills. The Dolphins have been handling their business for the most part, albeit against inferior competition, one of the elite offenses in the game of football. And even with Tyreek Hill out, Jalen Waddle did his thing. Even had Stephen Ross waddling, okay, with the white. You get what we're coming from right there. Dolphins top four. Can't be top three, though. Give it to me right now, please. Give it to me. Bam! The Detroit Lions. Cannot ignore this team much longer. 10-4. Leaders in the NFC North. By the way, battling for a top two seed in the NFC overall. And by the way, guys, their running game. We can't ignore Montgomery and Gibbs. You understand Brown at the wideout. Golf balling. We got to give love where it's due. Right now, top three. They ain't top two, though. Give it to me right now. Bam! The Baltimore Ravens. There's nothing to talk about here. Rough Riders on defense. Offensively, you got Lamar Jackson. OBJ has gotten more involved as well. We see Zay Flowers and the rest of the crew. John Harbaugh, experienced coach. They're handling their business. Tough competition. Manhandled the Jacksonville Jaguars Monday night. I'm sorry, Sunday night. So you got that going on. We all know who's number one, though. Just put it up right there. We know who's number one. It's the 49ers, the best team in football. I won't waste more time. Y'all know football. Y'all know enough to know they number one. I got the 49ers, Ravens, Lions, Dolphins, and Bills.
You come in here inside.
All right. I like the list, Stephen A. I really like the list. I got the Dolphins at five. I've still had the Cowboys because I still think they're a very good football team, even though they didn't play well on Sunday. I got them at four. I got the Bills at three. I got the Ravens at two. I got the 49ers at one.
So you don't even have the Lions in the top five?
No.
Wow.
They lost to Chicago and Green Bay. Absolutely not.
Okay.
All right, before you jump all over this, First Take fam, you know the deal. QR code's on the screen. Scan it. Obviously, we want your grade as well.
Okay.
All right.
This hurts me.
Yeah?
This hurts me bad.
Okay.
This is the best list he's ever put out.
What?
Straight up.
What?
Straight up.
And I told him you had a
kid. Listen.
I told him he had a good outfit on today, too.
I don't know what's happening. It hurts me.
Yeah.
It pains me.
The only,
this is nitpicking. The only thing that I had reversed from you is I had Miami at three, and I had Detroit at four. That was, okay. But I could go either, because I just think Miami, they're more proficient scoring.
Right.
Detroit, so that, but I.
Detroit's been up and down. I get where you're coming from. My only issue, guys, is that with Detroit, I understand they've been up and down, but the Dolphins, such inferior competition.
That's true. Yeah,
you know
yes.
what I'm saying? And I'm just saying, because of the inferior competition, Detroit has beaten better opponents.
Yeah.
And that's why I had them as well.
That's why I put the Dolphins at five. The Cowboys, maybe I could have took them out and put the Lions in at four and put the Cowboys and put the took the Cowboys out and put the Lions at four and the Bills, because I like what the Bills have done over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Bills have gotten hot.
The top two, you don't get no argument from anybody from the top two. We know what they represent. The 49ers over the last three or four weeks, along with the Ravens, basically since week five, have probably been the best team in the AFC. So for that, but Stephen A., I like the list also. I will give you,
what?
I give him an A-.
This is an A-plus for me. This is as good as it. I'm telling you, he got this
up high.
One.
Up
he got
I am so proud of you.
Well,
he should be. He should be.
You got an A- and an A+. Didn't you have a good suit on?
Yeah. Well, it's a good day today. It's a good day today.
Sometimes you've got today like, was a good day.
You know what? The Grinch would have came visiting you if you wouldn't have gave this. Hey,
this was real. This was real.
This is what it is. This is what it is. That's right, Shay.
That's a good
miss. That's right, Shay. I did what I did.
I give you credit. That's a great miss.
Solid.
Shannon, in the new year, I want some lists from you. I'd like to see Shannon do a list.
You know what?
Here's
my issue with Shannon.
He'd be good. No, he'd be so good at it.
Here's my problem with Shannon. Well, let me help him out here. You got to do the list without the iPad.
Yeah.
He walks up there with the iPad. He's some damn student in class.
Yeah.
No, you're supposed to be the teacher. You don't need it. You let somebody else hold the iPad. You got to come up here without the iPad.
No, see, I don't want to make sure I make the mistake where, like you did, and we got to go and do a whole reboot the whole segment.
Yeah.
We got to reboot the whole
segment. Redo it. I made a mistake. Let's take it all off. Clean it up. Let's do it again.
Not this week, though.
This one's solid.
Okay,
this is
so
solid.
The biggest discrepancy. Do we have America's vote yet? Why we're waiting, though, right now?
Lions. The biggest discrepancy.
Okay. It's the Lions. Oh, we got America's vote.
Yeah, it's real.
Hey.
Stephen A., I say this every week, but our audience is so intelligent. Thanks to listening to people like Jeff. Don't get excited. don't think it's you. And Shannon, they are always
saying.
But it's unbelievable to me. They're always in sync with former Super Bowl champions.
There's 2 to 3 weeks where the audience didn't know what the hell it was talking about.
No,
it wasn't the audience. It wasn't this guy.
It wasn't the audience.
This was a special day for you.
It was. It was a big day.
Listen, Merry Christmas and happy holiday to you and yours.
Merry Christmas to me.
Why do you always have to say that every year?
What's what?
He loves doing the ho-ho-ho.
Yeah, yeah,
slow. That's absolutely.
By the way, I just have to say before we go to break, I might have been scrolling on Instagram before I went to bed yesterday, and I saw some fan questions that you answered.
Oh, my Lord. Some of these fans are
crazy. I might need to come in and police you.
No.
The fact that you even answer these questions.
Oh, but that's not the wrong. Listen, I didn't
Shannon,
ask them.
Listen.
I'm a man of the people.
You and Chad are doing your thing, and you guys say some wild stuff too.
Wild.
But this guy, is Shannon and Chad are killing it as well.
Hey.
But I mean, I'm like
listen,
you.
Listen. Club Shay, you better be careful.
Shay, you asked me a question. I'm not
you
running.
You got to
answer. I'm going to
answer
the question.
Back.
I got to answer the question.
Club Shay's wild now.
I don't want to go that route.
That's wild.
I don't want to go that route.
Him and Chad
that's
together.
Wild.
Hilarious.
I don't want
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right. We have 30 seconds left. And do you know what I'd like to do with it?
What?
I'd like to wish Shay Shay a Merry Christmas because I won't be on the show.
I was going to do the same.
I'm not going to be on the show Christmas Day with him. Mm. So, Shannon,
wishing you and yours
a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
To your team, Ashley, Jordan, the folks I love, wishing them a happy holidays as well, too.
Steve, you ain't working on Christmas.
I'm working with you. I was just messing with you. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Bye, Molly.
Bye. We'll miss you. Stay out of trouble. Great.